Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Chris Masters is a 25-year veteran of current affairs reporting in Australia. He's stepping down from his position on the ABC's Four Corners program and has, in parting thoughts, questioned the current state of investigative journalism and the rise of the opinion column. I started, though, by asking Chris Masters, what were the first principles he learnt about journalism?
Well, I think I had a sense that journalism fitted into society, that journalism could do a great deal, that it, to me, I saw the opportunity to practice it as a profession. Whether it was regarded as a profession or not probably didn't matter to me. As far as I was concerned, it was a profession. Lots of my colleagues see it as a craft or a trade, and there's all sorts of arguments about what it can be and what it should be. As far as I was concerned, it was very important, and my job was to make what was important interesting, to spend my career working on my craft and learning how to get to the truth.
How important was it to your career and to your journalism to work in small centres where perhaps the stories weren't that obvious initially?
Well, I probably didn't value it as much at the time as I now do. For almost half my career, I worked in small regional centres, and there's nothing like being in a place where you wake up day after day and nothing's happened to advance your skills in investigative journalism. I sometimes think that journalists who get dropped into the deep end in the big city can be at a disadvantage in that it's more about coverage for them than discoverage, because the stories just assemble every day and they go out and report them. They're not so obliged to get underneath the community and dig in and find the stories that are resistant to being told. And that is what I think I learned for those years in the regionals.
And is there an art to reporting on local matters about local people, perhaps when they don't want it reported, and still being able to be part of that community?
Yes, there's a fine balancing act. On the one hand, I think it advances your sense of responsibility because you live with the people you report on. You'll run into them at the bus stop. On the other hand, there's a real danger that you can get too close to them and you can start to self-censor. When I did the Moonlight State program, which is probably the most famous story I did in Australia, which led to the jailing of a Queensland police commissioner, I was based in New South Wales at the time. I was based in Sydney, and I went to Queensland to do the story. The story was there and available to a lot of the local reporters, but I think realistically, practically, it was a little bit more difficult for them to do. For all that, I think that working in communities where you do have that natural sense of responsibility is very worthy, and it's often where I see some of the great noble journalism practiced, because in our terms, news is not good or bad, it's news, and if you can give the public the news that they need rather than want, then I think you're doing your job.
After 25 years in the industry, where are we at the moment where it comes to that news that people need rather than they want? It would appear that there's never been more celebrity coverage or simple narratives like crime reporting.
Yes, well, it always depresses me to have to give a grim account of an industry that should be extraordinarily profitable and rich, because the communications business has grown enormously in my lifetime. But the trends that I've seen are a movement away from the notion of news as public service and much more to the notion of news as business. I think when television stations in particular discovered that they could actually make a lot of money out of news, we lost a lot of what was worthwhile. When we take simply a quantitative account to measuring the worth of what we do, you know, that is how many people read, how many people watch and listen, then we lose a great deal. We lose the opportunity to recognise that sometimes productivity isn't measured in numbers alone, that some of the best things we can do are the stories that take us a long time to do, but ultimately make something of a difference. I mean, it's two steps forward, three steps backwards, and sometimes the other way around.
You touched there on the difficulties of the economics of investigative reporting, and how the long-term investigations they don't seem to have any home. I mean, what's happened to the home of investigative journalists? The Bulletin's gone in Australia, and in New Zealand, we've seen a very similar shift away from these long formats.
Yes, I think that one of the things that happened is that leadership in our industry has moved away from people like ourselves who understand the essence of news and the reasons to support investigative journalism. And so many of our leaders in our industry come much more from a business background. They haven't spent as much time in a newsroom, if any time at all, and they don't seem to value understand the very essence of journalism. So they can see that reporters aren't really worth a lot, that all they do is process press releases. If you've never been in the business yourself, where you hone your talent for understanding truth and following a story wherever it takes you, I think that can be a disadvantage to the very job.
That's very interesting, the idea of following a story where it takes you, because if you switch on the 6 o'clock news, they all seem to be formulaic. You know, there's a very simple man in court, there's a very simple fire put out, there's a very simple report released, but there's no room for the story to go to new territory or outside of what will fit in a minute and a half. And if you lose these long formats, you're stuck with the same narratives and the same formulas.
That's right, and it's just like in Evelyn Waugh's Scoop from all those years ago. The industry looks sideways. The industry is risk averse. It's more worried about a competitor getting a story than actually setting its own agenda.
And so that's a question of spending resources on something everyone else is doing rather than making your own new things.
That's right. I think that a lot of daily news reporters get into habits and patterns of work where they don't realise that the schedule is in command of them rather than the other way around. And I think often you see when programs become formulaic that you stop thinking in an original way. You factor out investigative journalism because you're simply centered on the stories that are easily told. And I think that also when that happens, you lose something of your craft. The best reporters are the ones that surprise the public and take little notice of the agenda. They set their own agenda.
I guess another thing that's risen up in the last number of years is this explosion of the opinion column inside papers. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's devastating and destructive, and every reporter should stand against it because they don't realise how much they're wrecking their own industry. I think when reporters agree to do opinion columns, they're just being lazy. I very rarely read an opinion column that is thoughtful and insightful. I just doubt that people like me have all that many good opinions in us. I mean, if we specialise in a particular area, if we've learned a lot about a particular subject, then our opinion is worth something more than the next person you meet at the bus stop. But I find it extraordinarily aggravating, and I think that there's been a bit of a blind collusion between journalists and our masters, in the sense that both parties are being lazy, and they're not. Neither party is really serving the public well, because despite the fact that they often pretend to be fearless and courageous, I mean, opinion is often gutless. You know, what requires courage is to assemble the facts and make a damn good story out of it, and then stand up for that story. Well, I think in newspapers in particular, a lot of the reasons why they support opinion columns is that they are actually a lot cheaper, and now we're seeing the same trend occurring in television.
Well, they're cheaper because they don't have to pay a journalist's salary in order to fill that space every week. And they're also cheaper in that if someone does sue them, they've got the defamation responses. Is that right?
That's right. I mean, you can write an opinion piece where you make assertions of fact that don't prove to be fact at all. So you can be sued. But if it's just opinion, then, you know, as someone once said, there's no such thing as false opinion. And that's what I find when I read so many of these opinion columns. There are no facts in them at all.
And no original research. I've seen writings of yours that have suggested quite a novel way to get around this problem.
No, there are lots and lots of cheap ways to write a column, and I think that lazy reporters just sort of settle into that after a while. They start recycling their own work. You know, they subscribe to the Atlantic Monthly or Vanity Fair or whatever, and they might sort of reprocess something that they've got from there, or else they just do these lazy pieces about their latest trip to the supermarket and, you know, the pains of suburbia or something. I mean,
I love the idea you had about, as with fridges, having the energy efficiency icons of stars to show how energy efficient or otherwise they are. Columns could have telephone icons to show if there'd actually been any research involved.
Yes, I doubt if we will see that, but I still think it's a good idea. And I think in journalism, you know, we shouldn't be keeping our secrets from the public. And now that the internet is upon us and anybody can be a journalist, or so they say, then the public's going to learn a lot more about the tricks of the trade as they become their own gatekeepers.
Well, we've talked a little bit about some of the ways that the journalism landscape is facing some challenges. But I guess as a final idea, I mean, after 25 years as an investigative journalist, I mean, what are some of the privileges of the job? Because on the best days, it's a wonderful job, isn't it?
No, it's a wonderful job, and I can look back on it and say that it was the perfect job for me. And I can also look back on it and show the public a scorecard that demonstrates that journalism is actually worth it. You know, I have done programs where I've got people out of jail and put others into jail and managed to affect public policy in a really positive way. And it is a great privilege to be able to enter people's lives and sit down in front of them and get to the truth. And I think that that's what's kept me going.
Chris Masters there, recently retired reporter from the ABC's Four Corners. Coming up after the break, we speak to this year's winner of the Bruce Mason Playwriting Award and meet the Hoochie Coochie Girls.